Morning, everyone. This is Ian Clayton here. Nice to be with you again. I don't know whether you have ever done this yourself, but there are times when I'm just reading the word and little bits of the scripture start to kind of jump out and really make quite an impression on my thought process. And I don't know about you, but as I read the scriptures, there are things that I have read over and over and over, but I just don't see. And then one day when you're reading, it's suddenly like, how, what, like, I didn't see that before. How come I've been reading this for years and years and have never really seen what is there? And that is because the word itself adjusts itself to the measure of where you currently sit in your belief systems so that it can bring you further and deeper into the way of Yahweh and understanding, laying the foundation of what you already know. The problem is that if we have wrong thinking and wrong things inside our thought process, then it becomes more difficult to facilitate any of this because of the way that scripture operates for us. And so scripture will reveal itself. And I've just been reading through 2 Corinthians 5 and over and over and over just because of some of the stuff that is inside there that is locked inside it. And I want to just today, just for these 15 minutes that we have together, just talk a little bit about my musings over scripture here, because I absolutely love it. Now, as far as I am concerned, anyone who says that the Hebrew language is Kabbalah actually doesn't know what they are talking about and actually is ignorant, which is a real shame. I'm just saying that because the original scriptures were written in Hebrew, and we have people out there who are saying that the living letters or the letters of the Hebrew language are Kabbalah, which actually is completely incorrect. It's a language. If a language is Kabbalah, then English is even worse Kabbalah than the Hebrew language. And so, but the English translations we have from the Aramaic, from the Hebrew, is the Bible we read today. And so I kind of love reading some of the translations and the different translations that people have on the word, which I find fascinating. And then going back to the original language itself and then doing study on the original language and looking at the unseen remiss and the sood of what is sitting in behind scripture that we don't see because we read it on the surface to the knowledge we have today. But anyway, it's my little ray for the 30 seconds, but I may just read this for you because it's stunning as far as I'm concerned. This is found in 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5 of verse 1. It says this: "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle which were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but it's like, I have a building in heaven, not made with hands, that is eternal. And of course you can go, oh, that's there's two things that your brain will go down here. One is, that's a house for me built in heaven, or there is another dwelling place that I, as the spirit being here on the earth, can go and live in. Which means that in the kingdom realm of Yahweh, there is another tabernacle of Ian, which I have the capacity to move around in my Father's house, in Yahweh's kingdom, in his realm, which is in heaven. However, let me finish reading this. Verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven." Now, this is fascinating scriptures. So Paul says that he's groaning. So there is an internal that comes from inside, earnestly desiring. It's really interesting how the core component of what we talked about last time together about desire, but earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. I don't know about you, but it's like I look at this and I go, Lord, there is a place where I can go into my Father's world and move around and be a participant in his realm with the things that go on within his kingdom. But then my, as Paul writes here, my desire then is not only to be clothed with it from there, but actually to have it clothed this down here, which means that who I am in heaven, of course, can be cloaked here and clothed here, which means I'm now in heaven on earth, of course, which is what we talk about, the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. So it's this heavenly tabernacle, this realm, this being, this place that I can go with another body and live in that other body as a spirit being. And so Paul, in these two little verses, is really trying to, I suppose, get us not mixed up, get us locked into the revelation that I can be in heaven and I can be on earth. But my greatest desire is that which is in heaven cloak this body here on earth. And he calls it the tabernacle, the house. And then verse 3 says this, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So again, there's these scriptures. Again, the first word naked we find is in Genesis. So where that whole thing about being naked means that Adam lost a building, Adam lost a covering, Adam lost a way of being in heaven that he no longer had because he was naked. And this is the nakedness that Paul's talking about here. And so he's talking about being clothed. Now, here's the other implication of this. If we are not clothed, then we will be found naked, just like Adam. So there is a major importance here for you and I to actually engage with that cloaking, that realm, that tabernacle, that house that is actually in heaven, so that we are not found naked here. And what was the very thing that nakedness created? The hiding from Yahweh. If we go back to the law of first mention, you talk about in Eden where they were naked and they hid themselves from Yahweh. So what is this saying to us? If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. What he's saying is, if we are clothed in this tabernacle, in this tent, we will no longer actually have the capacity to be, no longer have the need to hide from the presence of Yahweh. Why? Because I'm now clothed in the realm of heaven. Or for me, this stuff is just mind-boggling. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, which is now Paul is talking about the body, we, us, who we are as a spirit being, is now in this tabernacle, this body, do we groan, being burdened, not for that we would be clothed, but or unclothed, but that rather clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I mean, like, again, these scriptures in this last week have just messed me up so badly in a good way. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be clothed, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So there is a fascinating sequence here, that there is a realm and a way and a tabernacle that we need to be get burdened with, to not to have our body put off, which is so much involved in the rubbish that is preached regarding rapture theology and all of these things, escaping through death. Like, the burden here is not that I become unclothed from my body. The issue here is that I get clothed from a realm that is in heaven, where I now am clothed from this realm, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So that means that mortality means death. So unless I'm clothed with this body that is in this tabernacle that is in the heavens, if I'm not clothed in that tabernacle, then I'm going to die. But if I'm clothed in that tabernacle, then mortality will be swallowed up. The place of death will be swallowed up by life. Now, he that verse 5. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is Yahweh himself, who also has given us the earnestness of the Spirit, of course, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the engaging of that whole arena on the producing of what it means in us to be able to pray in tongues, so that when we do, we cellular system gets mobilized into light to be the magnet attracting that tabernacle from heaven. Therefore, verse 6, therefore we are also confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So he's actually, again, talking about who he is as a spirit being, being present here, knowing he's absent from the Lord in this earthly tabernacle. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So Paul is saying here that he's actually so willing to actually not be in his physical body, to be in a realm, in another tabernacle, where Yahweh himself now engages with him on a deeply personal level. Therefore we labor that we, whether present or absent, we may be accepted by him. Isn't it amazing how the labor has always been to be in heaven and on earth and in heaven? This conundrum of our Christian life has been absolutely fascinating in the way that it works through us a greater weight of exceeding glory. The same thing that was manifested on Moses when the law was read, where they had to put a veil over his face, that's found in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 15 around there, because of the tabernacle that he was wearing in the earth, of the display of what Yahweh was doing. This heavenly tabernacle for me is all part of the longing that is in humanity, particularly with regards to the sons of Yahweh. But the issue for me now is actually dealing with the desire to die, thinking that only in death are we going to be able to see the end of corruption that we know, instead of realizing that there is a tabernacle that is in heaven that Yahweh is wanting to clothe me with, that will bring this mortality, this body, where mortality will be swallowed up of life, where this body will be able to come into a place where death would not have a hold in any way whatsoever over the physical form that we now have. And so, and then it says this, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So I don't know how you've ever read this before, but let me just have it from this point of view. If we are not bearing the record of this tabernacle from heaven in our bodies, we are going to receive a judgment according to this place where we now sit. If we have received this tabernacle here in this earthly body, then it's going to be unfolded for us and given to us so that we can actually then be judged to what is right. Because remember, judging isn't to death or condemnation. Judging is only to bring life and to reveal that which is alive. And so when this judgment engages with us, it's going to judge, were you clothed from on high with this tabernacle that produced immortal life within the fabric of the framework of your physical body here, or will you be found wanting in that area of your life? Now, these are not things we have to do. These are things that I am choosing, groaning in me to want to do and to engage with in an active process. I hope you've enjoyed our little 15 minutes together, folks. I just wish you a well for this year, and as we move into the new dispensation that our Father's given us. Have a fantastic week, and until our next time, Shalom.